that slain for us, you alone are worthy, and the praise is yours, and the praise is yours, you're the one we bow before, reigning over us as we lift you up.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today.
Nice.
Why don't you stand up with us this morning as we start out here? Why don't you just turn and wave at somebody and say, it's good to see you today. Wave at your neighbor. It's good to see you today. I want to read here from Psalm 47. It says in Psalm 47, go ahead and celebrate, come on, and clap your hands, everyone. Does everybody know how to clap your hands? Clap your hands, everyone. Shout to God with the raucous sounds of joy. Is that how you say it? With the raucous sounds of joy. Shout to God with the raucous sounds of joy. The Lord God Most High is astonishing, awesome, beyond words. And the Bible says here, and if you go down to verse 5, God arises with the ear-splitting shout of His people. Sing your highest song of praise to our King. There's something that happens when you begin to sing praise to God. God responds to it. God begins to move in your life. Things begin to change. God begins to move in you. The Bible says, put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. In other words, when you start praising God, heaviness starts to leave. The joy of the Lord starts rising up within you. The peace of God starts filling your mind. There's something that happens to you when you give praise to God. And I want to encourage you today. We have our musicians and singers who do a wonderful job and have rehearsed and get ready for us there to lead us. But they're not here to sing for us. They're there to sing with us. I want to encourage you when the Bible says clap your hands. Man, we're going to sing Risen, right? Is that the first song? And it's a fast, upbeat song. Clap your hands with us. Sing with us. Give God praise. We only sing four songs. Let's give God all we've got. What do you say? Come on, let's worship the Lord today.
He's risen, forever glorified.
Risen, He's risen. King Jesus is alive.
Oh, 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 hallelujah. Oh, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, 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 hallelujah.
Oh, 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 hallelujah. That I know the old Jesus, when I met you and you called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day, you called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Needed shelter, my sins were heavy, but the chains break the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me the citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, now you're the very lips that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open when you call my name. You're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Nothing is impossible for you.
Nothing is impossible.
Nothing is
impossible
for you. You hold my world in your hands.
Come on, sing it.
Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. Nothing is
impossible for you.
Nothing is
impossible.
Nothing is impossible for you. You bring the world in my hands.
I believe you're my healer. I believe you.
I believe,
together.
I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me.
Jesus, you're all I need.
Jesus, you're all I need. I believe you're my healer. I believe you.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are our healer. Thank you that you are all that we need. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what we face, that we can call upon you. Because you said that when we call upon you, you will answer us. You will show us great and mighty things. We thank you, Lord, that there is nothing that is impossible for you. With God, all things are possible. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that all things are possible with the Lord today? Well, let him know that you believe that today, that there is nothing impossible, that there is nothing that he cannot do, that there is no sickness he cannot heal, there is no need that he cannot meet. Lord, we thank you today that you are everything that we need. Can you say amen to that? Well, we want to pray for you this morning, whatever you're facing in your life. I want you to know that the Lord is here. He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. I was talking last week to Andrea. No, I told you about Andrea because you were healed. 3 months you had stomach pain, real stomach pain, real terrible stomach pain. And you were sitting in the service and Ed Trout prophesied and said, from today as a sign, God's healing your body, and you walked out of here and that pain was all gone. We spoke to someone else this week, and that was Karen, Roxroy's wife, Karen. And she was in the same service when Pastor Jill got that word about, was it last Sunday? When you got the word a few weeks ago about there's people with stomach trouble, and that specifically, the Lord said there's people having stomach trouble. The pain goes into your leg. And her husband, ran in from the lobby and said, Karen, that sounds like you. She'd been having pain that would go down into a for more than a year, and she'd been to the doctor a number of times. They could never find out what was wrong. They did CAT scans, ultrasounds, and they could never find the problem. Well, anyway, she was in the service. We prayed for her. Then this week she called. She went into hospital. They eventually found the problem. They fixed it. They did whatever they needed to do. What is it? Not microscopic surgery. Laparoscopic surgery. You know what that is? Well, she had it. She's all good. She said, praise God, this has been going on for a year. I don't know what it was, but I believe the Lord revealed this, and now I'm healed. I just want you to know today, whatever you may be facing, we are here to pray for you. We don't just pray to make ourselves feel better. We pray because we know that God hears and He answers prayer. So I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come and help me today. Barry and Annette, come help us pray. I think I need a battery in this Chester, it seems to be cutting out. Would you help us pray? Stacy, come help us pray. And if you need prayer this morning, come forward right now. If you need healing in your body, whatever it may be, financial challenge you're facing, whatever it is, you're facing fear, you're struggling with an addiction, whatever you may be dealing with, the Lord wants to help you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to heal you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to bring restoration. He's a good God. So come and let us pray. And we're going to sing our final song. Leslie's going to lead us. This beautiful song is called It Is Well. And I want to encourage you once again, sing with us. Lift your voice. Give God praise. Let's worship the Lord together. Amen, church.
Yeah.
it with me. With my soul. Sing it out. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
This morning, there's your reminder. It is well. It is well. No matter what I'm going through, and I know my life is connected to Him, it is well with my soul, right? From my soul, from there, everything else comes into line. Welcome. So good to see you, Barbara. So good to see you, Dolores. So I love to see faces that I haven't seen for a little while. Bless you. So good to see you. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're glad you've joined us for worship this morning. Won't you just turn and wave to someone or high five them, whatever you want to do. Welcome to church. Good to see you. Welcome to those that are watching on Facebook Live this morning. Welcome to church. Welcome to those watching on our app, watching on YouTube. We have an audience that joins us and participates in the service. How good to see you. Wow. That's a long time since I've seen your faces. Man. It's good. I'm glad I get to get up here and see who's in church today. But, you know, if you want to go ahead and share, we always broadcast on Facebook Live. People are not here for various reasons. And it's a way for us to share the service. People can, right there in their home, participate. So you can go ahead and do that. We appreciate it. But I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. We do love having visitors in our church, don't we? Do we? And so if you're here for the first time, would you just wave your hand that I could welcome you? God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Come on. One out of three is not shy. I mean, wonderful. We're just giving you a visitor pack right where you are. That's got a couple of things. One being a guest card. And we ask you just fill that out for us if you don't mind. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in. It just gives Pastor an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you. But so good to see faces I haven't seen in a little while. It's good to be in church, right? I love online service, but nothing beats church for reals, right? Church live, in person. I just want to remind you of our main purposes of our church. First one is that you would know God. Second of all, find freedom. Thirdly, discover your purpose. And lastly, make a difference with your life. That's what everything goes around. Everything that we do is for those four purposes. Amen. And Pastor Steve, you're going to talk about this Spanish translation. We're pretty excited about it. From today, we have Spanish translation going on right now in the service. Today, Natalie Robles is doing it, and she's going to translate the whole message over a headset. And so we have people that have family members that don't speak very good English, and they really want to be in church. And so we're offering that service. So I'm really thrilled. And we're going to be calling on some Spanish speakers to help us out with that. It's not that hard, right?
Exactly. Now that you've raised that, do we have anyone this morning that would require or would like a Spanish translation headset? Would you mind just waving your hand at me? Anybody? We all speak it in English.
but you see, the thing is that people have people that they want to bring.
Is that what you were going to say? Okay, well, I want to let you know that starting from today, we have Spanish translation. So, Ollie, when you come into the lobby, you go to the counter, and there's like a little receiver that you wear with a headset, and we're going to sanitize the headset every time, or you can bring your own headset. And so if you know people, you'd like to bring them to church. I've been wanting to do this for such a long time.
Yeah.
Because I want to reach out to everybody that I can. And I especially have the Spanish people on my heart. I would like a church full of Spanish people. In fact, I would like a Spanish service. We're going to have a Spanish service.
But seeing as you don't speak Spanish,
I seem to favor Spanish people. I don't know why, but I seem to favor Spanish people.
No,
and I've never even been to South America. But I just want to let you know we're excited about it. So bring those folks and they can listen to the whole service with us. And that's good. Isn't that a great thing? But you got the day off today, Natalie. All your hard work. She translated my notes. She's all ready. Thank you, Natalie. Give Natalie a big round of applause. Will you do that? Thank you. I want to let you know also that we're looking for volunteers to help us with the Spanish translation, because we don't want to have the same person doing it every week. We want to give them, you know, we want them to enjoy church too. And I know we've got a lot of people in this church that you can see. See, right. So is anyone, if you'd like to help, we're looking for volunteers to help us with the Spanish translation. Now, let me just let you know to make it real easy for you. I'm going to give you my sermon. I'm going to give you my sermon all typed out in Spanish. And really what the Spanish translator does is follow the notes. It's all translated already. So we're looking for volunteers. Who will help us out? Raise your hand if you'll help us with Spanish translation. Put your hand up right now. Eva, your hand should be up. Natalie, your hand should be up. Ray, your hand should be up. Anyone who speaks the Spanish, your hand should be up. Dolores, your hand should be up. You speak Spanish, right? Anybody else? Because I'm going to find you. You might as well put your hand up, because I'll track you down and I will find you. Also want to remind you, how many people read your Bible this week? Who read your Bible? I don't want to shame anybody. I want to encourage you. Listen, if you haven't got our Through the Bible in a Year daily reading program, I would encourage you, when you walk out today in the lobby, As you go out, there's a table. Grab one of these. I use it every day. You know, it's amazing to me when I read my Bible, even though I'm following this program, every time I read, God speaks to me about something that I'm dealing with right now. It's always like, Lord, how could you arrange that? Even this morning, in the bathroom, I was reading my Bible on my phone. Is that too much information for you? I don't waste any time. I'm reading the Bible, and I'm like, wow, this is like exactly what I needed to hear. I want to encourage you to make a daily habit of reading your Bible. And the last thing I wanted to ask you, please take some of these invite cards and invite someone else to come to church with you. Next Sunday, we have baby dedication. If you would like to have your baby dedicated, all you have to do is go onto our website, ascendchurch.us, and fill out. There's a baby dedication. We need your baby's name. We're going to have a baby's dedication certificate ready. And so that's next Sunday, baby dedication. Next Sunday is also Father's Day. So we're going to have Father's Day. We're going to have baby dedication all in one day. Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I am ready. I want to say thank you to our worship team. Do such a great job up here every week. On the keyboard, we have Nate just joined us, moved just recently from Baltimore. We're so glad you're with us, Nate. Next to him is Rick Moore. We thank God for Rick. Then we have Dave McCann, right? Dave McMahon. I changed your name. Dave McMahon over there, a guitar virtuoso. He's teaching me, helping me to play. Then we have Abel over here, Abel Cartwright on the bass. And we have Muff on the drums. And of course, you all know Nate over there and Leslie over there. Thank you so much. Wonderful job. I love that song. Don't you love that song, It As Well? I love that song. It just does something to me, just even listening to it. Well, praise God. Lord, we thank you today for this another opportunity to be in your house, giving you praise. We rejoice in this day you've made, Lord. Thank you for every good thing in our life comes from you. Father, today I thank you for anointing and helping me as I speak your word today. I thank you for bringing understanding to every single person. Lord, I give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Dave, could I ask you when you leave today, could you just move that stand and that cable just off the stage for me? Well, you ready for God's word? Yes. I want to speak to you this morning about the F word. May not be the F word you're thinking of. I've had a lot of people ask me before the service, is it this? Is it that? The F word that I want to speak to you about is forgive. Forgive, right? And I read this scripture. I just thought this was such a powerful scripture. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 from the Passion Bible, listen what it says. We have come to Jesus, who established a new covenant with his blood sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Blood that continues to speak from heaven. Forgiveness, a better message than Abel's blood that cries from the earth, justice. Can I tell you that forgiveness is a better message than justice? I said forgiveness is a better message than justice. I don't know about you, but I want forgiveness more than I want justice. I need God's forgiveness more than I need God's justice. Are you with me? And John chapter 1 verse 14 says, Christ became a human being and lived here on earth among us and was full of loving forgiveness. In verse 17 it says, for Moses gave us only the law with its rigid demands and merciless justice, while Jesus Christ brought us loving forgiveness as well. John 20 verse 23 says, I send you to preach the forgiveness of sins. Do you know Jesus said, I send you to preach what? Forgiveness. That's the message of the gospel. Forgiveness. Acts chapter 13 verse 38 says, my friends, the message is that Jesus can forgive your sins. Romans 3 verse 23 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Here's something I know for sure. We all need forgiveness. There's not one person sitting here that has never sinned. We have all sinned. To sin means to miss God's standard, God's mark. And it says in Acts 13 verse 38, through this Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is offered to you. And in Acts 10 verse 43, it says, all who have faith in Jesus will have their sins forgiven in his name. Let me see if you've got faith in Jesus. Just wave your hand at me. I got faith in Jesus. Well, thank God. The Bible says that because of your faith in Jesus, all your sins are forgiven. Thank God we have been forgiven. Can you say that? Say, thank God that I've been forgiven. And now that we've been forgiven, God expects us to forgive others. Let me tell you, the word forgive, the F word, forgive, that is the key to living in freedom. It's the key to living in peace. It's the power behind your faith. It can save your marriage. It can restore relationships. It releases God's blessings in your life. Forgive. We all have unfair things happen to us in life, and we can choose to hold on to that hurt, become bitter about it, become angry, let it poison our future, or we can choose to let it go and trust God to make it up to us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all bitterness. Rage, anger, harsh words, slander. It says in the contemporary English version, it says, stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Don't yell at one another or curse each other or ever be rude. The Good News translation says, no more shouting, no more insults, no more hateful feelings of any sort. The New Century Version says, never shout angrily or say things to hurt others. The Passion Bible says, lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults. The dictionary defines bitterness as anger or resentment at being treated unfairly. It is an emotion which encompasses hate and anger. Bitterness, the dictionary says, is an emotion that encompasses hate and anger. The Bible says, get rid of bitterness. If you are holding bitterness, you're holding on to hatred and anger. And the next verse says in verse 32, instead, be kind and merciful and forgive others just as God forgave you because of Christ. The Message Bible says, be gentle with one another, sensitive, forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. In other words, thank God you don't come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord, I know what I did was wrong. I'm so sorry, Lord, that I missed it. Please forgive me. And God says, I tell you what, come back tomorrow. I'll think about it. He forgives you instantly. The Bible says that's how we've got to forgive others. In Colossians 3 verse 13, the Bible says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. The Lord, say the Lord forgave me, so I must forgive others. The contemporary English version says, put up with each other and forgive anyone who does you wrong, just as Christ has forgiven you. And the Message Bible says, forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. The English Revised Version says, don't be angry with each other, but forgive each other. If you feel someone has wronged you, forgive them, forgive others, because the Lord forgave you. And the Living Bible says, be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Now, the reason I read, you say, Pastor Steve, why do you read all those different versions? Because sometimes I get a little bit something different out of a different translation. It just gives me a little greater insight. Like, never hold grudges. See, when you forgive somebody, you don't hold a grudge. And you may think you're not able to forgive. You may say, Pastor Steve, they hurt me just too bad. Maybe your ex caused you a lot of pain. Maybe a friend betrayed you and you just don't know if you can let it go. Let me tell you, you are not forgiving for their sake. You are forgiving for your own sake. That's the big thing you got to understand about forgiveness. You're forgiving for your own sake because when you forgive, you take away their power to hurt you. The mistake we make so often is we hold on to it and we go around angry and bitter. And all we're doing is allowing them to continue to hurt us, continue to impact our future because they're out there enjoying their life. We're not hurting them by staying angry. We're poisoning our own life. Are you with me this morning? I know people who are still mad at someone who's dead and gone. They've got unforgiveness toward their parents or a former boss or an ex-spouse. It's bad enough they hurt you once. Don't let them continue to hurt you by staying angry and holding on to bitterness and holding on to unforgiveness. Because somebody, I heard somebody say this, when you forgive, you're setting a prisoner free, but you soon realize the prisoner wasn't the other person. The prisoner was you. Because what they did may have been wrong, but my challenge is don't let it ruin the rest of your life. They may have betrayed you. I've had many people betray me. I lost track of it. Mistreated, lied about you. But what they did is not worth missing your destiny. You cannot let a divorce or a betrayal or a bad childhood keep you from the awesome future that God has in store for your life. You know, Joseph was in the Bible was betrayed by his own brothers. They were jealous of him. And they sold him into slavery. I mean, you got to be kidding me. You talk about forgiving your brothers. I mean, you know, I had two sisters. I have my sister Angie, but my younger sister Barbara, and she went home to be with the Lord many, many years ago, but I don't have any brothers. And my sister has done things wrong to me, and I've done things wrong to her, but I never sold her as a slave. I never dug a pit, threw her in, and say, hey, you need a... That's what Joseph's brothers did. Imagine they sold him as a slave. I mean, he could have let that injustice steal his destiny. But after Joseph's father died and Joseph had now been promoted and he was prime minister over all Egypt and there was a famine came to the land and Joseph's brothers came to try and get food and they were afraid that Joseph would pay them back for what they did to him all those years ago. So they came and they begged his forgiveness. And I want you to look at what Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis chapter 50. Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. The Bible says, Joseph said, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. And he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Now, it's evident to me that Joseph wasn't holding unforgiveness because he said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of your children. And he was kind to them. It's obvious that he wasn't holding on to bitterness. Amen? He wasn't holding a grudge. I believe that's why God blessed Joseph so much. I believe that's why Joseph had so much favor from God. There's no telling how many people that we don't read about in the scripture because they got angry, they try to pay people back, and they miss God's best for their life. And I want to encourage you, don't let that be you. Your destiny is too great to let what somebody did to you to keep you from moving forward and fulfilling God's destiny for your life. Forgiveness is not just about being nice and kind and being the right thing to do. Forgiveness is about not missing God's best and the future that God has for you. I forgive for my sake. I don't forgive for your sake. I forgive for my sake. You may... You know, you may have a valid reason to be angry. You were mistreated when you were younger. It wasn't your fault, and you had no control over it. What they did was not right. But forgiveness doesn't mean that I'm excusing their behavior. It doesn't mean that I'm lessening the offense. I'm not saying that you got to be best friends with them. I'm simply saying you need to let it go. You need to not hold on to a grudge. Quit dwelling on it. Quit replaying that in your memory over and over again. Quit giving it time and emotional energy. You have a destiny to fulfill. And every time you let that consume your thoughts and you go back and you replay it over how bad it was and how unfairly you were treated and you think it over in your mind, it's like opening up an old wound. When you don't let it go, it won't heal properly. It's like a bruise that won't go away. Have you ever gotten a big bruise and you know somebody accidentally bumps that bruise and it's sensitive and it's very painful, and so you become overly protective. You make sure no one gets close to it. It's the same way when we've been emotionally bruised, we've been hurt, somebody did us wrong. If we don't let it heal so the bruise can go away, we too will end up overly sensitive in our life. We'll be defensive about the smallest of things. We end up not having good relationships. There are some ladies today that don't trust any men because one messed up man hurt them, and they never let it go. Now they're defensive and distrustful. They think all men are bad, all men are out to get them. But the scripture says that Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, it says Jesus came to set at liberty those that are bruised. He came to set at liberty. He came to set free those who have been bruised. See, we're not really free if we're bruised. If you want the bruise to go away, if you want to walk in the freedom that belongs to you in Christ, then listen, you've got to learn to forgive the wrongs and let it go and move forward in your life. Because there's nothing the enemy would like anymore than for you to let one bad thing that happened, one messed up person that hurt you, one injustice to ruin the rest of your life. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 11, the Living Bible, it says, a further reason for forgiveness is to keep from being outsmarted by Satan, for we know what he's trying to do. The Bible says one reason to forgive is so you don't let the devil get the better of you. Because his plan, what he's trying to do is get you and get me to hold on to a grudge. He's trying to get us to refuse to forgive. You know why? Because unforgiveness, when you hold on to unforgiveness, it stops the blessings of God in your life. It stops you from moving forward in your life. There's so many, it's like a poison that infects your life. That's why the enemy tries so hard to get us mad at one another. Say amen, somebody. That's good preaching, Pastor Steve. Keep on preaching, Pastor Steve. Woo! Encourage myself. Satan's trying to get us to hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness and anger. Why? Because he wants to stop the blessing of God in your life. He wants to get you to a place where you cannot be forgiven yourself. Because, you know, if you refuse to forgive, God can't forgive you. You've got to be determined and say, no way, devil, my destiny is too great. My future is too bright. My God is too big to let what somebody did or didn't do to me to stop me and cause me to be stuck where I am. I'm going to shake it off. I'm going to press forward into the future God has in store for me in the name of Jesus. Amen. I heard about a lady that was abused by her own father and several other men when she was a young girl. She grew up confused, ashamed. She thought it was her fault. She didn't trust men, but she would do anything to try and please them because that's all that she had known. And she was bitter and angry, had a chip on her shoulder. She hadn't spoken to her father for 26 years. She hated him. Every time she thought about him, she became more and more bitter. One day, somebody told her what I'm telling you, that when we forgive, it releases us to move forward in our life, and nothing that anyone's done to us has to keep us from our destiny. And at the age of 36, she made the trip. She went and found her father. She said to him, Dad, what you did to me was so wrong. I've hated you every day of my life, but I cannot live with this poison anymore. So I've come to tell you that I am forgiving you today. And she said when she left that day, she felt like she was released from a prison. Up until that point, she had floundered and struggled in her life. She'd been in and out of relationships. She'd have several different jobs. But 10 years later, she's happily married. She has 3 beautiful children. She owns her own successful business. She says life couldn't be any better. And it all started when she let it go and she forgave. You see, you got to forgive so you can be free. Don't let the person that hurt you keep you in a prison. If you will let that go, God will do for you what he did for Joseph. He'll take what was meant for your harm and it'll turn it around to your advantage. And it may have been painful, but don't waste your pain. God wants to use your pain to promote you. In Hebrews 10, verse 30, the Bible says, vengeance is mine. Retribution and the meting out of justice rests with me. I will repay. I will exact the compensation, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge and determine and solve and settle the cause and the cases of his people. I say, thank you, Lord. I let you settle my cases. I let you get me justice. Some of us, we've got some cases we need settled. You've had unfair things happen. Maybe somebody wronged you. Someone stole your childhood. Someone left you with children to raise by yourself. Maybe a business partner cheated you in business and you could easily be angry and bitter and try and get them back. But I want to encourage you. God is a just God and he knows every person who hurt you. He's seen every person who violated you, every person who left you alone and left you afraid. No one else may have seen it, but God saw it. He knew it wasn't right and he's telling you today, I'm going to settle your cases. I'm going to make your wrongs right. I am the God of justice. Not only will God pay you back what you deserve, let me tell you, God promised he'd pay you back double for every unfair thing that happened in your life. He'd bring double back into your life. That's what it says in Isaiah 61 verse 7. It says, because you got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt, your inheritance in the land will be doubled and your joy will go on forevermore. Let me tell you, family, that means every person who lied about you, every person tried to make you look bad, you let it go and double is coming. Those people who violated you, forgive them and double is on the way. That business partner that cheated you, get rid of that resentment and double is coming your way. That's what God promised. God never brings you out the same. He'll make the enemy pay for bringing that injustice into your life. Now you got to do your part. What is your part? Let it go. As long as you're going around with resentment and holding on to a grudge, then God cannot settle it for you. But when you let it go and you release it into his hands, let me tell you, God can do much better than... I found out God is much better at righting my wrongs than I am at righting my wrongs. I'd rather let God be my vindicator. Let God settle my cases. Some of you feel guilty about something that wasn't even your fault. People mistreated you when you were growing up. Listen, there's this nagging feeling on the inside like something is wrong with you, like you were to blame. You can't help the way that people treated you when you were younger. If someone took advantage of you, if someone did wrong to you, you do not have to feel ashamed about that and live guilty. It is not your fault. It was the other person's fault. You need to hold your head up high and remember you're a child of the Most High God and your value didn't go down because one messed up person did you wrong in your life. You are still the apple of God's eye. You are still his man. Masterpiece, you're still his most prized possession. Amen. Life may not always be fair, but God is fair. And if you will let go of the shame and let go of the blame and press forward in your life, I want to tell you, God will cause the rest of your life to be better than it would have been if that had never happened to you. He will pay you back with more. God will not allow one of his children to be constantly mistreated and taken advantage of. If you're in a situation like that, where someone's doing you wrong or someone has done you wrong, don't get depressed. Don't give up on life. Keep believing. You need to know payday is coming. Double is coming. God is my vindicator. If your husband ran off with another woman, you don't have to feel ashamed. Don't listen to those thoughts that are telling you you're not good enough. You're not attracted enough. Something's wrong with you. Those are lies. You don't have the problem. He has the problem. You keep your head high knowing that the creator of the universe is going to settle my cases. He's going to make my wrongs right. If God is for me, then what can stand against me? Amen. I don't know about you, but it helps me to forgive when I realize that the people that hurt me have problems and issues of their own. When someone lashes out and mistreats you, if someone abandoned you or rejected you, they've got unresolved issues that they're not dealing with in their own life. Now, that doesn't excuse their behavior, but the bottom line is somebody hurt them, and the Bible says we are not to seek revenge. In Psalm 37, verse 8, it says, stay away from anger and revenge. Stay away from revenge. Ephesians 4, 26 says, don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let the anger control you or be a fuel for revenge, not even for a day. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 15, it says, resist revenge and make sure that no one pays back evil for evil, but always pursue doing what is beautiful to one another and to all unbelievers. The Bible says, don't pay back evil for evil. Don't seek revenge. Romans 12, 19 says, beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge, but leave that to the God's righteous justice. For the scriptures say, if you don't take justice in your own hands, I will release justice, says the Lord. Are you still here this morning? Amen. Hebrews 10, verse 30. For we know him who said, I have the right to take revenge and pay them back for their evil. You see, I don't take revenge. I forgive and I let God settle my case. I wouldn't advise you to get on the wrong side of God. He hasn't lost a case yet. If you will take a merciful approach and say, God, I know what they did to me was wrong. They hurt me, but I'm not going to try to pay them back. I'm not going to try and get revenge. I'm asking you, Lord, to heal them of their hurts and give them what they need. The Bible says to pray for your enemies. Now, we're all talking about the injustice that happened to George Floyd, which is terrible. Is anyone praying for the officer that committed the crime? Is anyone praying for him to be saved? Because Jesus prayed for his enemies while they crucified him. In Matthew 5, verse 44, it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. What? That's a hard one, Lord. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. See, when you're merciful, the Bible says, when you show mercy, you're going to receive mercy back. Matthew 5, verse 7, Jesus said, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Matthew 9, 13, I want you to be merciful to others. Say, God wants me to be merciful to others. Say, when I show mercy, then I receive mercy. Luke 6, 36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. James 2, verse 13, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Do you know why I'm so merciful and I try to be so merciful to other people? Because I really want God to be merciful to me. When someone messes up, does something wrong, does something bad, oh, it's easy. Oh, how could they do that? I know some of the things I've done. And I ask myself, how could I do that? What was I thinking? The reason that I'm merciful to people is because I need God to be merciful to me. Ephesians 4, verse 32, instead be kind and merciful and forgive others just as God forgave you because of Christ. How does God forgive us? The Bible says we must forgive just as God forgave us in Christ, right? We've got to forgive. Say, I must forgive just as God forgave me. Well, how does God forgive us? Well, let me tell you how God forgives us. He doesn't hold it against us. When God forgives you, he forgets about it. Because some people say, well, I'll forgive you, but I'm never going to forget it.
I'll never forget it.
You didn't really forgive. Not like God forgives. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, it's God said, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. The New Living Translation says, I will never think of them again. I'm so glad when I ask God to forgive me, he cleanses me and he never thinks about it again. I will forget the wrongs you've done. The contemporary English version says, I'll forget the wrongs you've done. Hebrews 8 verse 12 says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Do you know when you go to God, the Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1 verse 9. Do you know when you go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry what I did. I was wrong. Forgive me. Do you know God forgives you and he does not remember it anymore? So if you go back tomorrow and say, because I do this myself, I ask God to forgive me, but then I still think about it and I feel guilty and I feel bad about it. And if you go back the next day and say, Lord, oh, I know I asked you yesterday, but I'm asking you again. I always imagine God saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember it anymore. God chooses to forget it. You see, if we forgive other people, even as God forgives us, then we forget about it. We don't hold grudges against them. We don't hold it in our little black book, you know, what they did 27 years ago. I'll never forget it. Somebody told me about a young man who was 14 years old. He was raised in a very abusive environment. His father was an alcoholic, and he would come home in these violent rages. He said there was no peace in his home. They lived on the edge. He was afraid for his life. He was afraid for his mother's life. My wife kind of was raised in an environment similar to that. Her parents have both passed away, but you know, her dad, Wednesday and on a Sunday was the day he'd go to the track. Saturday and a Wednesday, go to the track, the horse races, and he'd drink and he gambled. And she never knew. If he did well at the track, it would be a good day. If he did bad, it would be pandemonium. I mean, Jill got a stomach ulcer when she was 11 years old from worrying. She would live her life every day worrying what was going to happen when her dad came home. That's what this young man grew up in. And one night, his dad came home drunk. He began to physically abuse his mother. And so he stepped in to protect his mother from his father. And he and his dad got in a big fist fight. And his dad kicked him out the house. He said, I never want to see you again. And this young man, 14 years old, he was so dejected, so despondent, he was going to end his life. He was about to jump off of a bridge. And they weren't religious people. I mean, they didn't attend church. But as he was standing on the bridge about to throw himself off, he heard a voice. And the voice said, don't jump. I'll be your father. I'll be your protector. I'll take care of you. Do you know that was their heavenly father showing up to bring justice into his life? Do you know the Bible says in Psalm 27 verse 10, although my father and my mother have forsaken me, the Lord will adopt me as his child. The Lord will take care of me. From that day, he was on his own, 14 years old. And he had all these hurts and pains and rejection. But he made a decision that he was not going to hate his father. He decided he was going to forgive his father. He was going to move on with his life. And he ended up becoming a pastor. And over the years, he reached out to his father. But his father wouldn't have anything to do with him. 22 years later, on a Sunday morning, his father walked into church as he was preaching. After the service, he came to the altar with tears in his eyes. Not only did he ask his son to forgive him, but he gave his life to the Lord. He received Jesus in his heart. Let me tell you, God is a just and a merciful God. And I don't know how long it may take, but God is faithful and he will make your wrongs right. And he will restore what the enemy may have stolen from you. He's a God of restoration. It doesn't matter how much they hurt you or how wrong they were. If you'll let it go and if you'll leave it to the Lord, he will settle your cases. After the service, the son was talking with his dad. And his father told him things that he never knew. His father told him how that his father had been an alcoholic. And his father had been very abusive to his mother. And his father was raised in this dysfunctional home. By the time his father was 6 years old, he'd already lived with four different families. Now, I'm not making excuses for anybody's behavior, but hurting people usually hurt other people. And his father had all this anger and all this bitterness and all this rejection. And instead of letting it go, he made the mistake of holding on to it. And he didn't realize he was passing it on to the next generation. Listen, family, we need to be the set the new standard for our family. Let it end right here. Don't pass it on to your children. Set a new standard. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples and he told them something very interesting. In John chapter 20, verse 23, he said, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, one thing I believe Jesus is saying is that when we hold on to the wrongs that people have done, when we retain their sin, so to speak, it not only does it contaminate us, but that sin is like a seed and it can produce in us exactly what they did. In other words, when you don't forgive, it's easy to become the very thing you hate. Romans chapter 2 verse 1 says this. Romans 2 verse 1 says, you may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad. And you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and they should be punished, you are condemning yourself, for you who judge others do these very same things. Be very careful what you judge people for, because very often when you judge someone for something, you end up doing the same thing. I've seen ministers come out and expose other ministers. When they exposed Jimmy Swaggart way back in the 80s, the man who exposed Jimmy Swaggart was doing the same things. I know of a lady who hated her father so much because he cheated on her mother and she didn't have a good childhood, and she resented her father because he was unfaithful to her mother and he wasn't there for the children. She couldn't stand her father. I mean, do you know the amazing thing is when she got married, she ended up cheating on her husband. She was unfaithful. She wasn't there for her children. She became exactly what she hated in her father. That's why it's important to forgive and let it go, because the wrongs that we retain and hold on to can produce in us exactly what we don't want. If you were raised in a dysfunctional home, maybe there was violence or abuse or unforgiveness. Don't let that poison get inside of you. Amen? Amen. Move on for me. As I said, why don't you be the one to set the new standard for your family? Why don't you be the one to rise up and make a difference and say no more from today? Are you going to hold on to anger, unforgiveness, and pass it down to the next generation? Or will you be like the young man I told you about and just let it go and see your family go to a new level? See God begin to just change your whole family, set a whole new standard for your family? Amen. I mean, I know it can be difficult to forgive, believe me, especially when people have hurt us badly. But God never asks us to do something and not give us the power to do it. God will never ask you to do something and not give you the ability to do it. Forgiveness is a choice and forgiveness is a process. It doesn't always happen overnight. You don't just pray one prayer and never think about it again. It's a process you have to walk out. You have to have a desire to forgive. And every day you ask God to help you, then little by little, you see those negative feelings begin to get less and less. And one day you look up and you're not even thinking about it at all. It doesn't even affect you at all. Amen? Amen. When Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, in one part he said, forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who've sinned against us. Now notice, forgive us just as we have forgiven those who've sinned against us. Do you really want God to forgive you just as you forgive other people? Do you really want God to forgive you just as you forgive other people? No. You want God to treat you like you treat the person you work with? You want God to forgive you the way you've forgiven your ex? Serious? No, it's mind-boggling that some of us who say we've been forgiven of so much are so stingy when it comes to sharing forgiveness that we have been given. Another translation of the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus is not talking about monetary debts. He's talking about when people hurt us, God refers to that as a debt. Because when someone mistreats us, we feel like they owe us something. Human nature says, you hurt me, now I want justice. You did me wrong, now you've got to pay me back. The problem is we're trying to collect a debt that only God can pay. See, that father who abused his daughter, he can't give her back her innocence. Only God can do that. That friend who cheated you, or those parents who mistreated you, if you've grown up now, they can't pay you back. They can't change the past. That spouse that was unfaithful, he can't pay you back for the pain that he's caused. Only God can truly pay you back. And if you want to be restored and made whole and be free, you need to get on God's payroll. Because he knows how to make your wrongs right. He knows how to bring justice in your life. He knows how to heal the brokenhearted. Quit expecting people to make it up to you because they can't give you what they don't have. If you're looking to people to pay you back for the wrongs that they've done, you're going to live a very frustrated life. Because some people have gone through a bitter divorce, then they get in a new relationship or a new marriage, and they expect the new person to pay them back for the wrongs that somebody else did to them. They're always trying to collect a debt. They end up ruining that relationship as well because they take these hurts and bring it into this next relationship. Listen, don't punish the person you're married to now for something that happened years ago when they weren't even around. They didn't even know you. They can't pay you back. Get on God's payroll. God will make it up to you. God will restore to you. God will bring justice to you. Amen? I know a man who was wronged in a business deal. He ended up losing his entire business. This happened years ago. But he still is mad at the world. He's been with several different companies, several different jobs, but he just doesn't seem to be able to keep a job. He's got all this bitterness inside him. He thinks people owe him something. He expects them to pay him back. His problem is he's on the wrong payroll. You see, our attitude, the attitude that we should have is, God, you know everything that I've been through. You know every hurt. You know every wrong. You know every tear. I'm not going to live my life bitter. I'm not going to try and get people to give me what they don't have. God, I'm going to leave it up to you. I'm going to trust in you. You promised you'd settle my cases. You promised you'd pay me back double for every unfair thing that's happened in my life. So I'm letting all my family and all my friends and all my co-workers, I'm letting them off the hook, and I'm putting my hope and my trust and my confidence all in you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you, when you get on God's payroll, he'll make sure you are well compensated. Unforgiveness will cause your spirit to get stuck at a state of pain from which it cannot eradicate itself. Unforgiveness is toxic. It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Some of you today, if you just let some people off the hook in your life and quit thinking they owe you something, you would see your life go to a whole new level. And they may have been wrong. It may have been their fault. But it's not their fault they can't pay you back. If you spend your life trying to get from people what only God can give, it'll end up ruining that relationship. And the sad thing is you take the problem into the next relationship and the next relationship and the next relationship. It's so much better to just let God pay you back for the wrongs that have been done to you. Amen? Amen. It's so freeing to say, you know what? Nobody owes me anything. They might have hurt me. They might have stole my childhood. They might have cheated me out of that money. That's all right. I'm not on their payroll. I'm on God's payroll. He's the one who's going to make it. And let me tell you the good news. God never misses a payment. God never misses a payment. Life is too short to go through it angry and bitter and upset, trying to get people to pay you, pay them back. And you'd rather let it go. Let God settle your cases for you. Amen. Nowadays, when you fly the airlines, they make you pay for baggage, right? Don't you hate that? I remember the good old days. You didn't have to pay for baggage. But you got to pay for baggage. You can't take it free anymore. Do you know it's the same way in life? Do you know you can carry emotional baggage, but it's going to cost you? Yeah. You can carry that bag of unforgiveness, but it'll cost you your joy. You can take around that bag of bitterness, but it'll cost you your peace. Yeah. You can carry that bag of you owe me something, but if you carry it long enough, it'll be a hefty price. It'll keep you from your destiny. It'll keep you from the blessings of God. Someone said, but Pastor Steve, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Maybe not, but you do. And when you don't forgive them, your heavenly Father cannot forgive you. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, Jesus said, if you forgive others for the wrongs they do to you, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I got no choice, because I need God to forgive me all the time. That's why I have to forgive. In Luke 6, verse 37, Jesus says, forgive over and over, and you will be forgiven over and over. In Matthew 18, 21, Jesus said, Peter came to Peter and he said, Lord, how many times should I forgive someone who does something wrong to me? Is seven times enough? And Peter thought, Jesus is going to go, whoa, Peter, man, you are something else, boy. Woo, check out Peter, everybody, seven times. You know what Jesus answered? Not just seven times, 70 times seven in one day. I've got to be willing to forgive you 490 times in a day. Well, that's God is willing to forgive you every single time. See, some people, when they sin, and they ask God to forgive them, then they sin, they ask God to forgive them, then they sin, the same sin again, God to forgive them, and then the devil tells them, you can't keep asking God to forgive you, you keep committing it. You can commit the same sin 404, I'm not suggesting you do, but 490 times in one day, and God will forgive you. Now, that doesn't mean it won't have consequence, because the wages of sin is death. You go rob a bank, God will forgive you, but you're still going to jail. You understand? Now, it's amazing to me that we who've been forgiven from so much, often we struggle to forgive others. Some of us even struggle to forgive ourselves. Some people struggle to forgive themselves. Let me tell you, if you don't give forgiveness well, it's hard. You can't receive it well. Some people, the reason they can't forgive themselves is because they have a hard time forgiving other people. They can't conceive that a guilty person can be forgiven and exonerated. So when they do something wrong, they carry their own guilt for years and years and years because they don't conceive that the grace of God is able to forgive them and wipe that sin out like it never even happened. Jesus told a parable about a man who owed a king a debt of 10,000 talents, which was the equivalent of $20 billion today. And he couldn't pay the debt. So he went to the king and he asked for mercy, and the king forgave him. Then the same servant who was forgiven of a debt of $20 billion turned to his fellow servant and refused to forgive him because he owed him $300. He said, pay me what you owe me. And he wouldn't pay him, so he took him by the throat and started choking him. The man who was forgiven of $20 billion is choking someone who owes him $300. See, that's what it's like when you refuse to forgive. God's forgiven you a debt you could never repay. It says in Matthew 18, 32, the king called in the man who he had forgiven, and he said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. Are you ready for verse 35? Look at verse 35. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. That don't sound good to me. I don't want to go to prison to be tortured till I pay my debt. God has forgiven us a debt we could never repay. And he expects us to forgive people who wrong us just as he's forgiven us. You know, unforgiveness is not natural. It's a learned behavior. Because if you watch children, children are not unforgiving. Children can fight and cry, and 10 minutes later, they're playing again. They don't hold grudges. We used to be like that. What happened to us that we stopped? See, unforgiveness is a learned behavior. And if you can learn it, you can unlearn it, honey. Unforgiveness is for petty people. It doesn't protect you from future hurts. Unforgiveness robs you from future opportunities. It limits you. It dwarfs you. It holds you back. I encourage you, family, get rid of the baggage. Why don't you forgive so you can be free? If you will let go of the hurts and the wrongs and get on God's payroll, let me tell you, I'll tell you what's going to happen. God is going to settle your cases. God is going to make your wrongs right. God is going to restore what the enemy stole. He's going to bring justice into your life. God's not only going to give you back what you deserve, he's going to pay you back with double the joy, double the peace, double the friends, double the fulfillment. In the name of Jesus, he's going to bring you out better off than ever before. If you will let go of who you were, what they said, who didn't raise you, who didn't love you, who didn't do this, who abused you, who misused you, the job you didn't get, the person you trained ended up with that promotion, the relationship didn't work out, this happened, that happened. If you will let it go and get rid of the bitterness, then your hands are free to receive what God wants to release to you. There is something coming your way in Jesus' name. Let me tell you, God can only let go of what it has for you when you let go of what is hindering you. This is a message that I know digs deep into uncomfortable places. It's something we all deal with. It's a message that requires honesty. It requires you to do something uncomfortable because it requires you to examine your heart. Is there somebody that I haven't forgiven? You may need to call a sister you haven't spoken to in years. You may need to reach out to a dad who didn't raise you. It's not about their reaction. It's not about whether they do right. It's not about them saying the right things. This has got nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with you. Forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. It cuts the umbilical cord of your past so that you are free to be birthed into your future in the name of Jesus. Do you receive this morning? I want to encourage you this morning, church, to right now, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask you, I believe the Lord is going to bring to your mind and to your heart, if there's anyone in your life you need to forgive. And I want you today to just make that decision, Lord, I forgive them. I let it go. I release it to you in Jesus' name. Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You ready, Dolores? Ready, Dolores? Is any other Doloreses here? Say this with me. Say this with me. Say, Father, I thank you. Everybody, say, Father, I thank you that you have forgiven me of every wrong through Jesus. You have forgiven me. Lord, today I choose to forgive everybody who has ever wronged me. I do not hold on to bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, grudges. Today, I'm letting it go. Say it. Come on. Say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive everybody that has wronged me. I release them right now in Jesus' name. Now, you may have someone in particular that God just brings to your mind right now. Just say it. Just quietly, I forgive that person right now. I forgive my dad. I forgive this one. I let it go right now, Lord. I forgive them. I'm not holding on to it in the name of Jesus. Say this. Say, Lord, I'm not seeking revenge. I'm not trying to get them to pay me back. Thank you that you are the one who brings justice into my life. You settle and solve my cases. You are my vindicator in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Did you get something out of this morning? Well, I'm telling you, I did. I got a lot out of this. I look back, it was 4 years ago that I preached this, and that's way too long. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded and hear about this fairly often to not hold on to unforgiveness. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Good preaching.
Thank
Good
you.
Good preaching.
Thank you.
I love it. I love just right at the end of that, just to put action to it, just to take care of it right there. You don't have to wait, right?
That's right here.
Right now, we're going to have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Those that are watching, it's very simple. There's a link on Facebook Live. If you're on YouTube, you can just go to ascendchurch.us and go to give. And if you're here, you can use the envelopes. There's various ways to give. The kiosk's not in operation. We're having to replace the computer in it, but you can prepare yourself to give. And I always like to just read a scripture. And Pastor Steve has been, we have evangelist Mike Francine staying with us. He's here somewhere. And we get to discuss in the Word pretty often. And Pastor Steve pops out of his office and says, "You've got to hear the scripture." So he read the scripture to me this week. And I was like, just repeat that. I'm going to put that in the offering right now. So, Psalm 39. I love that David was a king, but he was so humble before God. And he just constantly wrote down what was on his heart and in his thoughts. And this is what he said, just three verses. He said, "Lord, help me to know how fleeting my time on earth is. Help me to know how limited is my life and that I'm only here but for a moment more. What a brief time you've given me to live. Compared to you, my lifetime is nothing at all. Nothing more than a puff of air. I'm gone so swiftly. So too are the grandest of men. They are nothing but a fleeting shadow. Pause in his presence. We live our lives like those living in shadows. All our activities and our energies are spent for things that pass away." Let that sink in, right? "We gather, we hoard, we cling to our things, only to leave them behind for who knows who." Let me tell you, David right there is displaying an eternal perspective. You know, we all like nice things. We like a nice house, nice cars. We like, and God has no problem with that. But I tell you what, everything's fading away. That shiny new car you bought last week, it's going to be on a, you know, rusting on a heap someday, right? But eternal things, we got to turn our eyes on eternal things. And I think sometimes the older you get, you begin to think, hey, this stuff doesn't matter like it, I used to think it mattered, right? So David, that enabled him because he had this eternal perspective. That enabled David to give, the Bible says, all of his personal treasures. He gave all, and it was significant. I won't even go into it. It was gold and silver and way beyond what he needed to give because it didn't matter. He's like, "I'm going to leave this behind. I'd rather do something for the kingdom of God." And I love that about him. And do you know that giving and tithing reveals the state of your heart? You know, it blesses us so much when, even with our kids, when your kids get old enough, at first you're like, you better tithe on that. And then one day they come and they're like, Luke came to us one day, somebody gave him, I think he had $50 in South Africa. And he's like, I'm going to put it all in the offering. And you know, I was like, "You don't have to do that." He's like, "No, I want to do that." And I thought that blessed me. It's not about the money. It was the heart that was behind it. And that's what blesses God about our tithing and giving, is the heart that's behind it, right? And so everything we do it to be obedient to the Word of God, whether it's raising our kids to follow the ways of God just as best we can according to the Word of God, whether it's working your job with honesty and integrity, hard work like the Bible says, whether it's trying to serve God as best you can on this earth. Everything we do is with that eternal perspective, and tithing and giving is another one of those. We are putting the kingdom of God, and we are prioritizing eternal things. Amen. And so I'm going to read one more verse to you, and that's from Matthew 6. It says, "But more than anything else, put God's work first and do what he wants, and then the other things will be yours as well." Another translation says, Jesus said, he was talking about what you eat, what you drink, worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. And he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." God has no problem with you having things. He says, just get your heart. First the kingdom, first God's work, and then the other things fall into place. Amen. So as you prepare yourself to give, we're going to pray. I'll tell you a testimony. as we get older, we just feel like you're just less and less looking to hoard stuff, right? But we had a real blessing. Insurance, home insurance company sent me a message and said, we had a check for you 6 years ago and you never cashed it. Do you want us to send you another one? And I was like, sure. So $4,900. You overpaid us 6 years ago. I'm like, how on earth did we overpay? Well, I'm like, I'm not arguing. If you say we did, bring it on, you know? So that's God has ways of blessing you where you don't have to run after them. Put Him first, amen? Father, I thank you for each and every person giving. I thank you, Father, for the revelation in our heart that your kingdom comes first, that your work comes first, and that you will always take care of us. Thank you for blessing your people. Thank you for doors of opportunity. Father, those that have lost jobs or lost income, we ask you to just give them new streams of income. Father, just bring their name to the top of the pile when there's a job opportunity. Father, thank you for blessing them beyond their wildest dreams. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That was great. Ushers, thank you. Are you ready? Everyone ready to give today? If you're ready to give, say I. If you know, if you still need more time, say oh. No, you don't. Go ahead. Thank you to our ushers. Thank you, Pastor, the offering basket. I want to thank all of our servant leaders who served and volunteered in the house of God today. Won't you please give a big round of applause and show our appreciation to all of our servant leaders who serve in media, children's church, ushers, our greeters, our worship team, everyone that helps in kids' church, right? Did I say that? I don't want to leave that out. Don't forget when you go out today, grab an invitation card, invite someone to take a few of these, I don't mind, and get your Bible reading through the Bible in a Year program. I'm going to ask the worship team to jump up on the stage with me as we close. I'm going to ask you, church, would you stand up with me as we close in prayer this morning? I'm doing it right now. Well, can you please just bow your head and in prayer with me as we close right now? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your great love, your great mercy, and your forgiveness that you've given us, Lord. We are so thankful, Jesus, that you brought us loving forgiveness, Lord. Thank you that when we confess our sin, you said you're faithful, you're just, you forgive us, and you cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And thank you today as we go out of here, Lord. We go out of here not holding on to any bitterness, any grudges, any unforgiveness, but we go out of here free in the name of Jesus. Now, while you have your head bowed and while you have your eyes closed, one last thing I want to do before we go home today, and that is we always give an opportunity for people to get right with God, to make sure that all is right between you and the Lord. This is the most important part of today. If you're not sure where you stand with God, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, listen, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, do you know for sure? Can you say you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is, are you certain? Can you say you know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be certain of that. You can know that for sure. You can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right between you and God, that every sin you've ever committed is forgiven and washed away. And you can know for certain when you die, heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But right where you stand, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to be sure that all is right and all is well between me and God. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Include me. If that's you, quickly right now, just slip your hand up. Just shoot your hand up. I'm looking for hands. Here's my hand. Include me, Pastor Steve. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Is anybody hands raised up? Did I miss anybody? No? No, no. All right. Look up at me. God bless you. Glad you're here today. Invite someone next Sunday. Next Sunday, Father's Day, baby dedication. I'm excited. My daughter Robin and her husband Brian and the four grandkids are coming from LA on Tuesday. I haven't seen them in 15, 16 months. And they'll be here next Sunday. I'll be here to introduce them to you. So have an awesome week, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next time. God bless you.